And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we're going to go to something closer to home. We're going to have a chat with Andrea Whitcomb from the Collingwood Community Gardeners. G'day, Andrea. How are you?
Oh, good day, Annie. I'm good, thank you.
So you had a wake for the gardens the other week.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Yes, we did last Sunday. Oh, it was actually a lovely celebration of the community, really, of gardeners. We came together last Sunday at around 11:30, and we constructed this wonderful cornucopia of fruit and vegetables and flowers in front of a lovely sign, a drawing done by one of the plotters, Bronnie Handfield, who's an illustrator of children's books. And she created this wonderful drawing of the plots, and so we sort of constructed really this little memorial, and we had some speeches, and we had a barbecue picnic lunch together. We all brought different things from our kind of food traditions, I guess. I made some pastéis de nata, some custard tarts for dessert, because I was born in Portugal, so I did something from my background. And other people did things from their backgrounds and, you know, their favourite foods. And we put it all together. And we had two and a half hours together talking, reminiscing and just being us. It was really, really nice, and just sort of bringing the community that was the gardens together.
It's quite a shocking outcome for a garden that has been operating for over 40 years for the Collingwood Children's Farm committee to decide without real consultation. What has your group learnt about the process of consultation in inverted commas?
Oh, Annie, that's a tough one. I think what they've done is very brutal. I think they thought that if they cleared the gardens, that would be it and we would just simply disappear, which is not the case. I think that what we have learned is a rather bitter lesson that you don't trust words, you only look at actions. I think we were naive in thinking that if you had a process of consultation that was for real. What we should have learned was that you never give up public campaigning once you get to a process of consultation. We campaigned at the beginning because they wouldn't talk to us and refused after telling us that we were locked out and that they were going to clear the gardens. We, of course, tried to make contact and get an answer and get a conversation going. They just simply refused. Nina Simons, the president of the committee, just simply refused to engage with us. Connor, the manager of the gardens, couldn't talk to us. And so we started campaigning, which is not unreasonable. That put political pressure on Richard Wynne. Richard Wynne asked Dwelp, Dick Ford from Dwelp, who's the sort of top manager of Crown Lands, to mediate a conversation. Three members of theirs were brought to that consultation, and at that point we made our first mistake. We stopped campaigning, believing that mediating process would get us somewhere. Well, the point that it got to after 6 months was that we would go away and do a management plan for how we would run the gardens and present it back to them at the end of the summer holiday, at sort of beginning of February. We were called into that meeting. We had our management plan, which we had sent before. Dwelp didn't turn up. Connor and two members of the committee of management were there to tell us that they just had got $870,000 from Lily D'Ambrosio's department. Go away, we're clearing and building a new garden. And you will be consulted along with the rest of the community in due course.
So they had it was a fait accompli. So that's a big lesson, isn't it?
And it's a very big lesson. Never give up campaigning. Never give up the political pressure on the local MP. Never.
It's interesting because it's a classic case of speaking with a forked tongue, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, you know, looking back, of course, you can always see things with hindsight. I think what we're doing now, Annie, is that we actually haven't gone away and given up. Of course, it's much harder because the gardens that were with that 43-year history have gone. But what we've come to realise, I kind of always thought, it's really interesting because I'm actually a heritage professional in a way. I'm an academic in heritage studies. And I always thought that once the gardens are physically gone, that's it. You know, what I was fighting for would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that actually that's not true. Even though physically those specific gardens are gone, the interesting thing, and, you know, I learned that through the wake in a way and through all this campaigning that we've been doing together, the community is actually stronger now because we were fighting for something that we suddenly realised we would lose, which we have lost. But in the fight, the community is actually bonded and become stronger. And what we had together is actually called intangible heritage. Yes, the tangible is gone, but the community hasn't gone. The intangible heritage of all the gardening knowledge that we each had in our bodies hasn't gone. And the kind of traditions of sharing hasn't gone. We demonstrated that in the wake. So the things that, so as long as we remain strong, we can still remain a community.
Well, you've called a community meeting.
That's right.
Yeah. So tell us about the community meeting that's been called.
So our next action really is, we're sort of pivoting to fill the space of consultation in a way, because that has actually come undone at the farm at the moment. The consultation process that they were having has broken down. So we've decided we would conduct our own. And so what we're doing is we're holding a public meeting at the Collingwood Library, the Collingwood Town Hall, on the 8th of April, which is a Friday, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And we have sought mediating services as a facilitator from Peter Clark, who's a very well-known ex-ABC journalist, now working as a Melbourne-based writer, webcaster, sort of educator, and as a mediator. So he has all the skills necessary to, you know, mediate a group of people and facilitate a set of questions. And our principal question is going to be, what does the community of Yarra want from a community garden? So we're going to attempt to open up the question of what is a community garden. We're going to ask people that are involved in different community gardens out there, as well as a number of experts on community gardens, to come and talk with us and members of the general public. So we're asking anyone who's interested in being a community gardener or comes from a community garden to come. And together we want to have an open conversation about all the different models of community gardening that there are out there, their pros and cons, how they're managed, what the different models mean for how those community gardens are managed, so questions of governance, questions of how you manage waiting lists, questions about how you manage people who don't look after, who don't do their bit, questions about autonomy. A lot of this is around, does an individual gardener have autonomy over what they grow, for example, or how they design their plot? A lot of this is about whether a community garden is based on individual allotments or collective allotments. So we want to throw out open all of those questions and work with members of the community, not just our community, but all of Yarra, so anybody who's interested in a community garden, to together come to some, you know, measure the temperature on some of these key issues and put together a report.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because what we've got, it appears, is a whole lot of professionals making money out of community and telling the community what community is.
Well, that's what we fear is the case. So we kind of want to open up a space where professionals, as you know, guiding the whole thing out of it, and the community actually has an ability to come together with a facilitator like Peter Clark, who's not involved, hasn't got a stake in a, you know, in either the farm or in us.
A bit of a rear guard action is going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And basically facilitating a process where the community itself can have a discussion around community gardens, their pros and cons, different models, how they're managed, and together we'll facilitate a process where we can arrive at some conclusion. So we're thinking of using, you know, of actually asking, after having various points discussed by the people that we invite, who will be from opposing models, or not opposing, but different models of community gardens. So we want to air different positions. We'll ourselves will be silent, but we'll ask different questions through Peter and have people able to answer yes, no, indecisive. We'll have flashcards, people. So
well, Andrea,
kind of session on the ABC, but actually even more interactive from the audience.
Andrea, we've run out of time, but can you give the listeners the time and date and place again?
Absolutely. We so welcome you all to come. We're really, really wanting to have an open conversation about what a community garden is. So it's the Collingwood Library at the Collingwood Town Hall, and it's 6:30 to 8:30 on Friday, the 8th of April.
Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me, Annie.